Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest in the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, please visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited to get my friend Steve Lobby with us from Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and AC. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kevin.
So, Steve, why don't we start at the beginning? Just give us a little bit of an overview about Paradigm. You know, what it is that you do and what's your service area?
So we're located in Hooksett, New Hampshire. We do plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. One of the fun things at Paradigm is, of course, the culture and the quickness and the speed that we can mobilize. We are a 24/7 emergency service company, and we do everything from sewers, drain cleaning, cammering, sump pumps, furnaces, boilers, plumbing, all your plumbing needs. It's a fun time at Paradigm.
So, Steve, why don't we talk a little bit about maintenance? Because that's something a lot of us forget. How often should I maintain both my heating and AC units?
Well, if you have a heating forced air system with air conditioning, you really should be thinking about doing it once to twice a year. This is the way that we can make sure that we check all the refrigerants, make sure that the air conditioning is running at peak performance. You're probably looking at two filter changes because you're running two seasons. These furnaces run all year long, and you want to be ready for, you know, the cooling season and also the heating season. So in a gas-fired forced hot air air conditioning system, you'd want to do it twice. On a forced hot air or a forced hot water oil, you'd want to do once a year.
Makes sense. Steve, one of the challenges in, obviously, in where we live is a lot of our friends go to Florida or go for warmer weather for the winter. How do they make sure that the heating system works, or how do they make sure that the pipes don't freeze? What type of advice do you have for those guys, Steve?
You know, being proactive is always the way to go. Whenever I go away, I always make sure that I have antifreeze in all the traps. I make sure I shut the electrical off at the panel because I happen to have a well system. I drain out all of my pipes down to the lowest point, and then I know that if my forced hot air gas-fired system doesn't run, I don't have any water in the pipes because they're all drained down. I know that they're not going to turn on because of the well is off at the breaker. So then if I do come in and it's cold, I know I just have to fix the furnace, and that's about all that's going to be needed. All the pipes, you know, will be without water, so they're not going to freeze and split and cause problems.
Makes sense. So, Steve, we were joking the other day, you know, about the noises your heating system makes. You know, it sounds like, you know, you have a ghost in the wall. What is all that noise all about?
I know, it is funny. Depending on the way that the pipes were ran, say the pipes were put into, the wood really, really tight, there's expansion and contraction that's happening within a heating system of forced hot water, and you'll hear that snapping, and it can be scary sounds. I remember our conversation, you really made me laugh about that.
It is. It's just true, unfortunately, and stuff. So now, Steve, I want to talk about the importance of pulling permits, because sometimes maybe a homeowner may want to be tempted to do some sort of repair in their home by themselves. Isn't it really important to follow the procedures and go out and make sure you're pulling permits for jobs?
Yeah, you know, I really believe in permits. I feel that they're a second check. So you, whether you're a homeowner or you hire a plumbing, heating, air conditioning company, I really feel that they're important because they're going to check on your work. And if you make a mistake by accident, I mean, that's what mistakes are. They're not on purpose. They're accidents. Then you can have someone check your plumbing, your heating, and they protect you. Also, we've talked about this with insurance. You know, if you didn't pull a permit and that furnace caught on fire and there was a problem, God forbid, then you're going to, you know, have to be checked. Was the installation done correctly? And then when they start pointing fingers and you say, well, geez, I did. I pulled a permit. I got it inspected. It was all proper. Then at least you have some a leg to stand on, and, you know, you're going to be protected that way. So, and I always say you don't know what you don't know. Most of the time we're right spot on, but we're human. We make mistakes as well. And when you do make a mistake and it costs you thousands of dollars or an insurance claim, you know, you go, boy, I really wish that that wouldn't have happened. And sometimes these code officials, they'll actually see the issue and they're there to protect you. I mean, I love code officials. I just believe in the whole process. And I just think you should have it for that added protection.
Well, even, you know, leaving out the pros like yourself, you know, people who attempted to maybe, you know, try something at home without pulling the proper permit, when the time comes to, you know, maybe sell your house, or God forbid something happens and you didn't, it's not up to code, and you go to sell your house and they're like, wait, you know, you redid that bathroom, but you didn't put it up to code, Steve. So it can lead to just a lot of bad things down the road. And you think maybe you're saving a couple of bucks, but in the end, maybe not, right?
Yeah, no, it's 100% right. You know, I've been called a few different times. One of them was down in Massachusetts. This gentleman said, he goes, you didn't pull a permit. And I says, well, wait a second, let me look into my computer system. And this is what's the nice thing about keeping good records. I said, no, sir, honestly, there was a gentleman named Matt. He did it at 1026. He pulled the permit, and I gave him all the information. And when I had that kind of time and, you know, the dates and everything and who he met with and who the inspector was that inspected it, the inspector goes, wow, he goes, you really keep good records. He says, that's really great. He goes, you know, our records don't go back that far, and I appreciate you letting us know. I'm going to sign off on it now. So, I mean, in this particular case, he had made the mistake, and we had pulled a permit, and that's the thing where you, like, go, phew, you know, because sometimes every once in a while one will get by you, you know, you're like, what, I thought we pulled a permit on that and you didn't, and you have to go down and pull it. You know, sometimes there's no malice involved, but there's a mistake. And, you know, like I said, he wasn't mad at me when, you know, I made the mistake. I'm not mad at him when he said I didn't pull a permit. You just have to have the proper documentation to prove it. And, you know, you just want to play by the rules, and then they respect you even more too. It's great.
I think that's the importance of using a professional like yourself, Steve, because you have a reputation with all the towns and cities you work in. So they know, hey, we've inspected Steve's work a number of times. It's always, you know, done properly. So like I said, I think it just comes down to that respect, you know, when you talk to pros, that the town knows, hey, I know that this is going to be done right. And that's important, right?
Yeah, no, it really honestly is. And, you know, we have an electrical division. We just bought another house in Ware, New Hampshire, and the wires need to be ran. We're not going to be able to pull the permit until we get occupancy. We're going to have that on the 25th, and the 26th we're going to pull the permit, and then the wires are going to be ran from the pole to the house, no problem. But, you know, this is the type of coordination that we do to make sure that we're in compliance. And, I mean, without power in a house, you know, where do you go, right?
Exactly. So now, Steve, a lot of times us homeowners, you know, maybe the drains start to back up a little bit. You're in the shower, the water's filling in a little bit. I should just run to the store and just get something and dump it in there, right? That would be solid advice. Chuckle, chuckle.
Well, you know. You know, I'm really, really gun shy about putting chemicals into the plumbing system. You know, those chemicals are going to go somewhere. And sometimes, depending on what type of chemicals are in there, there can be small little, you know, problems where they melt through the pipe, or they actually do damage to the pipes. I believe in a product that's a very proactive product called BioClean that you can put as a maintenance program. But if you do have a clog, you really should do the proper thing where you're snaking, you're jet rotting, and then you're cammering and making sure that you've got the obstruction. I mean, that to me is the proper way to do it. You've got to be really careful, because once these lines break in the ceiling, it's a big mess. You've got to cut the ceilings open, and that's when you do wish that you hired the professional.
So, Steve, speaking of hiring professionals, nice lead-in, I want to talk about the importance of building a relationship with your contractors, because a lot of times, you know, we don't really think of contractors as a homeowner until we have a problem. And then, you know, maybe you're Googling local plumbers and, you know, maybe someone paid to have their ad come up first. Isn't it best to, you know, find a plumber, a cop, an electrician, anybody that you like and stay with that person so they know your home? You know, you guys came and installed that furnace. You know what it is. You know what should be expected from it. So talk about the importance of that, Steve. I think it's huge.
Yeah, I mean, relationships, you know, both of us really believe in them. You know, this is a personable business. And, you know, I have people that will call me up and they'll interview me. They'll say, you know, tell me about Paradigm. How is it? What are the rates? You know, are you going to be there for me? You know, they'll ask about their systems, or they'll even have me come out and do a safety check, you know, which we can come out and do to a system at no charge. I mean, we're there for people. We want to help people, you know, and once we get to know a system and we have everything in our computer, we have the models, the serial numbers, the make, we can order parts then for it, because that's another issue, is that parts are really, really hard to get because there's so many brands out there. I just think it's important to get a relationship with a plumbing, heating, air conditioning contractor before you need them in an emergency, because then you're taking a chance. And, you know, all of us are going to, you know, enjoy working with somebody we already know than someone. I mean, people are nervous about getting us out to the job. I'm nervous about working for people sometimes, because you don't know, are they mentally sound? Are they going to pay me? You know, is this going to be a fit for both of us? So, just as customers get nervous, we get nervous too. We want it to be, a working relationship and one that is beneficial for both sides. Sometimes you wonder when someone is out on the market looking, you say, well, why don't they already have a plumber? You know, they've got two tenement buildings. You know, they've got a couple residential homes. So sometimes we, like I say, you know, we work with everyone, but, you know, sometimes flags do fly and we try to have honest, transparent conversations to get past those little weird things.
It's all people can ask for. So, Steve, one of the things you told me about that I have no idea about is chimney liners. Can you tell the audience a little bit about chimney liners and what they do?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So sometimes the chimneys were put together with just bricks. You know, sometimes they have what's known as a clay liner, and you'll see that orange clay liner in there. Sometimes these shift and they crack and they deteriorate depending on what type of appliance was in there. Maybe the appliance overheated, put stress on the chimney liners. We put chimney liners in. There's two types. There's aluminum and there's stainless steel. And we run those for, it could be a wood stove. It could be for a boiler or a furnace. It could be for an orphan water heater. You know, a lot of people, they'll pull the boiler off of the system with a high efficiency and put it on the wall. And then they've got this 40,000 BTU water heater with a 3-inch vent that's going up into this, you know, 6x18 big brick chimney. And what happens is the dew points will start to happen because that temperature starts at 300 degrees and then ends up becoming around 100. And then all of a sudden it meets a dew point and that becomes very acidic. And it'll actually rot the mortar out in between the bricks. So, you know, you've got to be careful of that. And that's why we'll slide down a chimney liner for that water heater. Or you could actually take that water heater and abandon that one, also abandon the chimney, and then run off that high-efficiency boiler. And we do that as well.
So, Steve, we got about 45 seconds left. Let's grab your contact information so people can reach out to you, my friend.
Yeah, our phone number is 603-641-6400. And if you just hit extension 1, you'll get to our dispatch. If it's an emergency, you can hit 9, and that'll get you right into our emergency situation. We also have an email if you have any questions. I love answering any questions at steve@paradigmph.com. That's P-A-R-A-D-I-G-M. PH, like the initials of plumbing and heating, .com. And thank you, Kevin, so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Steve. I really appreciate you calling in. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
You got it, brother.
Yep, bye now.